Well, please rise for our reading of Scripture this morning. Our first lesson comes from the book of Ezekiel, chapter 34, verses 11 through 16. For thus says the Lord God, indeed I myself will search for my sheep and seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock on the day he is among his scattered sheep, so will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries and will bring them to their own land. I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, in the valleys, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them in good pasture, and their fold shall be on the high mountains of Israel. There they shall lie down in a good fold and feed in rich pasture on the mountains of Israel. I will feed my flock, and I will make them lie down, says the Lord God. I will seek what was lost and bring back what was driven away. Bind up the broken and strengthen what was sick. But I will destroy the fat and the strong and feed them in judgment. And our epistle lesson comes from 1 Peter, chapter 5, the first four verses. The elders who are among you I exhort, I, who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, but willingly, not for dishonest gain, but eagerly, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. And our gospel lesson comes from the book of John, chapter 21, verses 15 through 25. We kind of pick up the story where we left it off last week. They had just sat down and had breakfast with their risen Lord. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again a second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? And he said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. He said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you were old, when you are old, you will stretch out your hands and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Then Peter, turning around, saw the disciple whom Jesus loved following, who also had leaned on his breast at the supper and said, Lord, who is the one who betrays you? Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Jesus said to him, if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? You follow me. Then this saying went out among the brethren that this disciple would not die. Yet Jesus did not say to him that he would not die, but if I will that he remain till I come, what is that to you? This is the disciple who testifies of these things and wrote these things, and we know that his testimony is true. And there are also many other things that Jesus did, which if they were written one by one, I suppose that even the world itself could not contain the books that would be written. And he concludes by saying, amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our Maker, Redeemer, and Comforter, we are assembled in your presence to hear your holy word. We pray that you will open our hearts by your Holy Spirit, that through the preaching of your word, we may be taught to repent of our sins, to believe on Jesus in life and in death, and to grow day by day in grace and holiness. Hear us for Christ's sake. Amen. Amen, and you may be seated. Shepherds, lambs, sheep, flock, tend, care. Did you pick up a theme here today? You look around and you see the lambs around as well. It seems all of our readings had to do with this. And as I was reading these lessons for today, it seemed like this would be more of a message for pastors. It seems that more of what was being talked about was directed at the office of pastor than for the flock itself. In fact, that reading from 1 Peter was directed specifically to pastors. And in fact, the gospel lesson, when Jesus was talking to Peter and giving him that charge, that too was the charge given to pastors for all time. And by way of the pastors, also then to the flock. So, you're not all pastors. How is this going to apply to you? I don't know. Let's just preach it and see what happens. In our Old Testament lesson that we read from Ezekiel, he was speaking a prophetic word about the work of Jesus through his church with the gospel. The church, led by this chief shepherd, would go into the world with the gospel and then gather those who were scattered way back in the days of the Tower of Babel. That's when they were really scattered, you know, back at the Tower of Babel, when the people decided that, they could be their own God. They could do their own thing. They could build their tower, and God was very displeased about that. And of course, we know that he confused the language, and then he sent the people out into the four corners of the world. And this whole thing of Ezekiel is about us now going out and gathering those sheep, those lost sheep. Have you ever dropped a dish on the floor and have it shatter in a gazillion pieces? I dropped a Melmac dish once that did that. Melmac, yeah. And it was just everywhere. I mean, you can't describe how many pieces are everywhere. And if you don't have a broom, you just got to pick it up one piece at a time. Well, that Melmac dish or a breaking dish is kind of what happened at the Tower of Babel. The people were scattered all over, and now they've got to be picked up. So, Casey, why don't you go get that little lamb over there? John, why don't you gather that one back there? Mike, gather that one there. Joel, Jeremy, you're on the outside, Jeremy. You can get that one right. This is what we're called to do as the church. We're called, we're sent out to gather the lamb. Just bring them up here and put them right down here. And we'll call this a little pen. Cute little lambies. There we go. That's what we're called to do as the church, and that's what Ezekiel was talking about in his prophecy here. And in verse 12 of Ezekiel, we see that Jesus starts, as you do when you're picking up a broken dish, you've got to start somewhere, and he starts with the 12 disciples. He starts gathering them up for that purpose of then sending them out with the Great Commission to the four corners of the world, just as we sent those four people out to the four corners to gather the sheep. He says, "So will I seek out my sheep and deliver them from all the places where they were scattered on a cloudy and dark day." Well, that cloudy and dark day is the day of the Tower of Babel. And he says, "And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries." And that's the Great Commission, isn't it? Go into all the nations, preach the gospel, make disciples of all nations. And you start right where they were, in the middle of the floor there in Jerusalem, and then Judea and Samaria, and then to all the ends of the earth. That's the Great Commission. And this is what the Lord wants to do through his church, through you and me. His church is charged with seeking the lost. bringing back those who were driven away because of their Tower of Babel-like arrogance, those who have been broken by their sin, and then strengthen those who have been weak by falling for the ways of the world. This is what we are called to do. And then once these sheep are reclaimed, they are to be brought into a flock, and then they are to be tended. They are to be tended. They are to be watched over. And we see this process in our gospel lesson today, the threefold charge given to Peter. You know, the first charge was to feed my lambs. Feed my lambs. That was the first charge. And then the second was tend my sheep, and the third one was feed my sheep. And this going and this gathering and this binding and this healing and this tending is all accomplished through the proclamation of this word, the word of God, the Bible. That coupled with the energy, with the power of the Holy Spirit, is what does the gathering and even is what compels us to do the seeking and then does the healing and the strengthening. It's done through the church. But the pastor serves a very, very important role in all of this. And that's why we see it emphasized here in 1 Peter 5, 1 through 4. And Jesus emphasizing it to Peter himself. As Paul wrote to the Ephesians in Ephesians 4, 11 and 12. And he himself gave to his church some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints for the work of ministry. What is the work of ministry? It is to bind up those that are wounded. That's you minister to people. It's to bind them up and to heal them with the word of God. And then to edify, he says, that is to strengthen the body of Christ. But before the church can do any of this stuff, we as individuals need to be talked to as Peter was being talked to by Jesus. Why was Jesus asking him these questions? Do you love me? And the answer is Peter needed to be broken. And you notice he wasn't broken until that third time. Because why? Because it reminded him of that time that he had denied his Lord and Savior. And so we need to be in that same position, broken before the Lord, and then forgiven, and then we are restored, and then we can get on with the business of the Great Commission. And then in addition to that, he asked this question three times, do you love me? And three separate ways this question is asked. The first one is, do you love me more than these? This is another requirement. We need to love Jesus more than we love other people. Even more than we love other people. Peter said, yes, I do. Then he asked him again, do you love me? We need to love Jesus more than we love ourselves. And then the third question, the word love is changed. And that's the emphasis of the third question. Do you love me? Is the third question. And that word love there means, do you have a common interest with me? Are you in with me? Do you have the same heart that I had, Peter? The heart to reach these lambs. And that's the question that we all need to ask as individuals, and we need to ask as a church. Do we have a heart for the lost? The same kind of heart that Jesus has. Very important things. That's when we're ready to be church. And it starts with the pastor, passing it down to the rest of the flock. Now let's look at these commands to Peter. The first one, feed my lambs. Now these lambs, okay, they're to be considered like new Christians. Chronologically, new Christians, at the baptismal font, you take an infant And the church is to be committed to feed that lamb, to bring it up in the Word of God. Or it could be a spiritual baby, somebody who just came to Christ. That is also a lamb. That person also needs to be fed. And so churches, pastors need to keep that in mind. You need to have programs in place to feed those little children, to feed those baby Christians. And you feed these little lambs, you don't give them steak. Okay? They got to have milk. They got to have milk. The pure milk of the Word of God is what it's called in 1 Peter 2, 2 and 3. As newborn babes, desire the pure milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is gracious. So the milk of the Word is that part of the Word that reinforces God's love for you. It's John 3:16. God so loved you that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but have everlasting life. And so the new Christian needs to be reminded of that over and over again. God loves you. He forgives you. He died for you. That's the pure milk of the Word. It reinforces John 3:16. It strengthens the weak. Now, this is well and good to feed milk. It's necessary. However, there comes a time when the lamb has got to be weaned off of the milk and given solid food. I mean, if that's all you're going to do is have milk all of your life, you're going to end up with diarrhea. You'll be messing your pants all the time. And I'm afraid that in the church today, we have many people walking around that have just made a mess out of everything, because that's all they know is the milk. No one's ever told them, no one's ever given them the meat. We need to move on beyond the milk and into the meat. Now, the second command is to tend my sheep. Now, to tend sheep is a lot more than feeding, isn't it? It's going to involve guiding the flock, guarding it, make sure that no wolf comes into this flock with false teaching. You keep the false teachers away. You tend. You try to keep the sheep within the boundaries of the pen. You don't want them wandering off, getting outside the pen. That's what we're talking about when we're talking about tending sheep, keeping them in the confines of the pen, if you will. And the pen is that area that is formed by this, the Word of God. The Word of God is what forms this pen. This is like a fence around the sheep. The sheep that have been gathered in, there's the Word of God. And the pastor's charge is to try to keep the sheep within the boundaries of that Word of God. And as you grow in your Christian walk, it is your duty as well, if you see a brother in error, to come alongside and gently point them to the error in Scripture and get them back into the pen. That's what it is to tend the flock. And this is when one of the rubs that comes along is people just think, man, there's no freedom in that. But there is. As part of our responsibility is to show people there is great freedom inside the bounds of the Word of God. There is great joy inside the pen. You don't have any hangovers. You know, they're gone. You're staying inside the Word of God. There's great freedom in a relationship between a young man and a young woman when they know there's certain boundary lines they can't cross. There's freedom in that. And we need to show that to people and help them to revel in it. There's great freedom inside the pen of the Word of God. And the Word of God is sufficient green pasture for all of us. But what happens so often? And you know, you got that fence up here with the green pasture, and the devil's got some green grass right on the other side. And he's going, come on over here, try some of this, you know? And so lamb goes, oh yeah, and they sneak out a little bit, you know? Well, you know, your job is to try to get them back in there again with the preaching, because they'll start going over here and over here and over here, and pretty soon they're out the door and they're gone. They've lost their faith. There is sufficient green pasture in the bounds of God's Word. And finally, Jesus exhorts Peter to feed my sheep. Feed my sheep. That's this fellow right here. Okay? A full-grown, mature sheep. This is what God is after. This is the level of maturity that He wants for each one of us. He desires that we become doers of the Word, not just hearers of the Word. You see, we must move on to maturity. And oftentimes you'll hear some challenging words from the Bible. And you have a choice to make. You can receive those words and put yourself under them and begin to mature in the process, or not. We have to move on to maturity. See, and many times people just decide to move on. Hebrews 5:12 through 14 says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you. Again, the first principles of the oracles of God. And you've come to need milk and not solid food. That's regression, isn't it? We should be willing to move on, not regress. He says, for everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness. Everyone who just is going to hang on to the milk and not get serious about the meat is unskilled in the word of right living, righteousness. For he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are full of age. That is those, oh get this, who by reason of use, using this word, trusting it, obeying it, knowing it, have exercised to discern both good and evil. Hebrews 5:12 through 14. You see, we need to use the Word of God. We need to apply it in our everyday living. And sheep that have been led to exercise righteousness and spiritual maturity through the application of this Word of God in their life. That's how we get there. We don't just say, that was a good word, that was a good sermon, and move on. We actually apply it to our lives. And not just in sermons, but in our daily readings and wherever else we may hear the Word of God. Well, now next week we have what we call Friendship Sunday here. And it's an opportunity for you and I to reach out to one of those broken pieces of Melmac. Some piece of Melmac that's in your circle of influence, your sphere of acquaintance. And you can invite them. And who knows, maybe they will come and join the fold. Don't take it personal if they don't come. All you can do is invite. And if they come, who knows? Maybe they'll be one of those that have been out on the fringes and they need to come in. Maybe it's one of those who have just stepped over the fence a little bit, needs to be brought back into the fold. Maybe it's an acquaintance who has never gotten beyond milk and needs a little meat. You can invite them to come to Living Word, where you know that they will get milk and they will also get meat. I'm excited. I have no idea what's going to happen next week. But now it's kind of up to you to go out, find these sheep and your acquaintances, and invite them in, and we'll just see what happens. You invite, let the Word of God and the Spirit of God do the rest. Amen. Amen. Do we have any prayer requests, or prayer requests?